So before we start the episode, just a quick show note. We have a giveaway of a $50 Amazon gift card. Actually, two $50 Amazon gift cards. So if you enjoy the podcast, Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn Podcast, just go to my most recent episodes. In the last few most recent episodes, like episode 221 and 220 and so forth, go to the show notes and you will see their links and instructions on the giveaway for the card. So basically the way it works is just give this podcast, Alpha Male Buddhist, a 5-star review and you qualify for a $50 giveaway. I will pick the top 2 5-star reviews and each of the 2 winners, which I decide on, will get a free Amazon $50 gift card emailed to them with the number and such, and you can just purchase something on Amazon and put those numbers in. All the reviews must be posted on or before September 30th, 2024, so you still have about 2 weeks. Winners will receive their gift card right around October 1st of 2024, so in a couple of weeks. If the podcast app does not allow you to give a 5-star review, then just simply type in the words 5 stars for the Alpha Male Buddhist podcast in the app player comment box. Some of them, there's 1 or 2. I think Spotify doesn't let you give 5 stars, but you can type comments. So just type in 5-star. Or you might be able to put 5-star in Spotify. I'm not sure. You'd have to go through and check it out because it changes so fast. Really, the podcast catch apps that really allow you to do that are going to be the Apple Podcast, which is all of these links are in the show note description. Links you could click and it'll take you right to my show where you can leave the 5-star review. So it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, CastBox, Podchaser, and Good Pods. Again, in order for you to win the contest, I need to actually see the 5-star 5-star review or the 5-star in the comments. I must be able to see it, you know, on my end, on the podcast apps, in order for you to qualify for that gift card. So yeah, go check out the show notes. The links are all there. Just click them, go right through. If you have any questions about the contest, my email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. So just reach out and I'll kind of give you a little guidance with regard to that. So do want to thank you for listening and let's get them 5-star reviews coming in and get a chance, actually 2 chances of winning a $50 Amazon gift card. So check it out. Each contestant is only eligible to win 1 gift card. You cannot enter and win both gift cards. So go check it out.
When I whet my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will take vengeance upon mine enemies, and I will repay those who hate me. O Lord, raise me to thy right hand and count me among thy saints.
You are listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. Expand your mind and keep it love.
This is episode 153, and I'm your host, Miguel. Everything that you hear in this episode is fair use Creative Commons license. And if you want to jump ahead to the Joe Rogan motivational segment of the podcast, you can just go right to minute 32. The visionary only lies to himself, the liar only to others. That's a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. So today we're going to listen to a motivational clip from Joe Rogan, and it really hits on a lot of pertinent points that we're finding ourselves in today. He gets into depression, working out, diet, and a means for living and a means for life itself. Because if you're a type of person that doesn't have any purpose or cause for their life, you know, you wake up in the morning, you have your cup of coffee and your Egg McMuffin, and you sit behind that desk with the computer in front of you, and you know, you hammer out answers and questions and just really like a drone repeating the same, you know, rinse, wash, and repeat over and over again. It doesn't provide you any real purpose in your life. And what Rogan gets into here is that it's really not about just sitting behind a desk and following somebody else's instructions and you know,
purpose in life, but to find your own purpose within yourself, you know, working out, your diet, and what your passion is in your life, you know. So you, it falls into something where it falls into your own hands as far as, you know, here's the cards that you've been dealt, how are you going to play them? And I've been listening to Joe Rogan, man, since before there were podcasts. I was listening to Joe Rogan when he was with Brian Redband. And I believe Brian Redband had a lot to do with him starting the podcast. They were putting MP3 files up on the website. And some of them were funny, some were motivational. But I would listen to them, and I actually saved them and listened to them over and over again. And then some point shortly after that, podcasts started coming out. And Joe Rogan kind of jumped on the bandwagon right away. He was the first, like, official, real podcast to come out, if I'm not mistaken. And I've been listening to him since then. And one thing I really like about Joe Rogan is he's in a bad situation right now because he actually gets more listeners and has a larger audience than CNN and pretty most venues out there. He's like the new Johnny Carson. I don't know, you know, for you younger people, you probably don't know, but Johnny Carson, he had a show, I guess it was on NBC or one of them channels, and it was a late night talk show, came out at 11:30 after the news. And he would interview comics and actors and people. And to get onto Johnny Carson, you'd be like pretty much, if you did well, you'd be instantly famous. And you made it. And Joe Rogan is kind of filling that platform where, you know, people come onto a show and like they become instantly recognized, you know. He has an excellent, excellent podcast. He, you know, to some degree, he's been a little bit commercialized just because of the fact that the position that he's filling right now in communications and in the media, where a lot of people turn to him and he has a lot of power right now. And along with that power comes a lot of not responsibility, but accountability to the higher ups and to those who make decisions for us. You know, I'll just leave it in that way. And that's not the type of person that Joe Rogan is. He's more of an independent, freedom-minded type person. But again, he has to conform to some degree because it'll create problems for him. So he's walking that delicate balance and that tightrope between him speaking his mind and, you know, conforming with the demands being placed upon him due to his huge market. You know, he's not a stupid man by any means, so... Yeah, so right now I'm going to be playing a motivational clip by Joe Rogan. I think he's speaking to Aubrey Marcus. I'm not 100% sure. But Aubrey Marcus is his partner with their company Onnit, O-N-N-I-T, where they sell a lot of supplements and kettlebells and workout stuff. But Rogan has had a pretty big impact on my life. You know, I've always been a person that have, since a very young age, probably 15 or so, been reading philosophy, Eastern philosophy, and Carlos Castaneda and such. But if I'm not mistaken, Rogan's podcast came on right around 2009, at which point, you know, I had been pretty much well versed in my thought processes, and which you're never really completely versed in it because it's an ongoing process. But in 2009 he came up with his podcast, and it really synchronized a lot of things in my own thinking. So it kind of just sharpened me up to a very large degree, because the one thing I love about Joe Rogan is he integrates the physical, the workout, the martial arts, the attention to health, mental health, physical health, and subjecting yourself to challenges in life and taking on things that are hard and to learn to love those things. So he was kind of a catalyst in my head as far as just integrating all of these different elements that a lot of them, or most of them, I was already pursuing, but he kind of wrapped it up in a nice package, and I said, hey, you know what, I'm not crazy. I mean, this guy is right on top of it as far as, you know, where my thinking was and where my place was, you know, as far as spirituality and physicality and sports and mental health and family. I mean, he just integrates all of these things so cohesively that it kind of blew me away. So I highly recommend you guys out there to go subscribe to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. And he's, if I'm not mistaken, it's the biggest podcast out there right now. So we're going to listen to some motivational clips of Rogan, where he gets into his thing, man. And like I said, he's pretty much the best at it right now, because the one thing I will say about Rogan is he's not full of shit. He'll bite his tongue sometimes, you know. He'll kind of pull himself back, or he'll kind of divert the question or the statement or the direction he's going in, just because of the fact that the position that he's in right now. But yeah, man, the dude's had a huge impact on my life. I'll just say one thing about Rogan and just a couple of other, you know, social media figures today. And because what's going to happen is inevitably people are going to listen to him and other big influencers and kind of be caught in the contrary as far as what they're listening to and what the actual life is. And it's not a criticism of Rogan, but it's just an observation. And I'll hear him many times, he'll say, well, you know, people are eating dog shit. They're eating Doritos chips and drinking beer and all that stuff like that, when they should be eating salmon and Brussels sprouts and, you know, grass-fed beef and stuff like that. People can't afford that shit. You know, he eats elk that he hunts in Canada and shit, and brings it home and puts it in a freezer and, I don't know, like the most healthy shit you can get. And there's probably 10% of people in the population that can live like that, you know, 5%. So when you listen to him and you hear him talk about, you know, the dieting and eating, you know, grass-fed beef and salmon and all that stuff like that, I mean, just try to incorporate that into your own living, meaning, you know, salmon, you could substitute that for a can of tuna fish, or, you know, grass-fed beef, you know, for, you know, some good ground beef that you got a Pathmark or whatever. I mean, because, like, we all can't live that way. We can't afford it. We all can't go to Whole Foods, or some people call it Whole Paycheck, to get, you know, our shopping done. But nobody's perfect, and he's speaking his reality and what he lives. So I can't hate on the guy for that. I mean, I got nothing but love for Joe Rogan. He's a real fucking deal, man. And the word is, he's got the strongest kick, sidekick, front kick, whatever, on the planet. The dude will wreck your ass. I mean, he taught GSP how to do that spinning back kick. Freaking love Rogan. The other person is Tim Ferriss. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about Tim Ferriss and about how you know, how you're supposed to live your life to enjoy it and have purpose and meaning and fulfilled and everything like that, which is great. He's into that Bulletproof coffee, which is coffee with butter in it instead of milk, and it's some good shit. It's some dietary thing where you end up running off the coffee and the fat and the butter, and you end up burning fat in your body. So it's something you might want to look into. It's called Bulletproof coffee. It's coffee with butter, grass-fed butter. But in this podcast, I don't remember which one it was, they were talking about Tim Ferriss and his book, The 4-Hour Work Week. And one of, you know, like the first step one in the 4-hour work week was that we don't really have to work. What we need to do is get a business started. And once that business gains traction, you know, we have people to run the business for us. So now we're getting the income from that business and we go to start another business. Dude, people are not in a position to do that. And if you do start an own business, and the reason it's successful, I'm sure it's because of your input and you working hard in that business. So if you're going to hand it off to somebody else, they're not going to have the passion or the investment in that business to run it the way you did. So there's a good chance it's going to fail. So that there's a lot of bullshit out there with this motivational stuff and people speaking about, okay, well, here's what you want to do. To be a millionaire, first you get $1 million. Then, you know, then you do XYZ, and come on, man. You know, people are not in that position. They're just talking that bullshit, you know, where, you know, it sounds great and you see the book cover, four-hour work week, you know, but it's more important for you to, you know, take vacations before you're old so you can enjoy it than wait until you're 65 to take these vacations where you're not going to be able to enjoy them because, you know, you're going to be limited in your capability to run around and such. But You got to balance all of this shit out. You know, I've had the ability to travel, and I really haven't spoken about it a lot on the podcast, but I've been to Paris, and I've been to Barcelona and Rome and Amalfi Coast and Cancun and a lot of different countries, you know, a lot of different places. Capri, I've been to. It's beautiful over there. To Florence, Italy, to Cinque Terre. I mean, I've been fortunate enough. I don't throw all these pictures up on my Instagram and stuff like that because that's just an experience that I've had. And, you know, as people live their lives, you know, I wish that they have the ability to do that too. equally. And I've been to other places. I've been to you know, the Philippines and Japan and just different places. I mean, I've been pretty fortunate. I started traveling when I was probably 22 years old. I went to Asia, and it just kind of blew my mind, you know, the experience of traveling. And there's nothing like it. I mean, not that it's a monetary thing or a money thing, but when you travel, especially at a young age, it just opens up your mind to a position where you're seeing people in the world, how they live, what they do, and it kind of clears the shit off of your vision, and it puts you in a position where you could see really how the world is, man, as opposed to being, you know, polluted by the mainstream media that we have in this country, and in these days a lot of countries, you know, they're just really brainwashing people. So I highly recommend for people, especially whether you're young, old, or whatever, try to get some traveling done. In these days, I know that's not easy, but let me get back to my point. So you got so many of these people. You go on Instagram and you'll see a kid that's 28 years old, and he's talking about, you know, fuck millions, I want billions, and, you know, all of this bullshit. And you find out that he's living in his mother's basement, eating Doritos in a beanbag, naked, fucking, you know, playing whatever, Halo or some shit, whatever game is popular these days, because I'm not a gamer. So it's very, very important to not so much look outside of yourself, not look at material things. Yes, the traveling is a little bit expensive, I will admit that, but if you can't, let's say you can't go to Rome, right, or you can't go to Barcelona, you know, go to a city that's nearby you. Go to a museum and observe, you know, the art and the creations of different cultures. You know, get on YouTube, and, you know, it's funny, but like recently I've been getting on YouTube and looking into like countries like the island of Sicily, the island of Sardinia, the island of Corsica, which is kind of cool. They speak French over there, and I speak a little French. And these are kind of places that I would like to see. Again, with the climate that we're in right now, it's probably not possible, you know. And then the other thing, I was watching, well, I subscribed to a YouTube channel. It's called Adrenaline Addiction. And it's this young kid, he's probably 25 years old, and him and his friends, man, they just jump off of cliffs and structures and waterfalls, and I mean, it's crazy shit. Adrenaline Addiction. I would recommend you check out his channel on YouTube and watch the shit this guy does, him and his friends. It's fucking crazy. But what it does is it takes you out of that paradigm where we are just being bombarded with this toxic media, this negativity. Like when I look at my cell phone, the only notices that I get is there was an earthquake where 80 people died, there's a storm looming coming towards us. You know, and on the top of every page is this whole COVID pandemic and all these different things like that, which we're not even going to get into, right? Because this is all planned out. You got to really be careful with that. So you got to, like I said, you have to have that neuroplasticity, man, to bend your brain over in a different direction. You know, I would go onto YouTube and watch people making what's called Damascus steel. You know, it's like metal that has these layers to it, and it's super durable and strong and craziness. Yeah, the University of YouTube has a lot there for you to kind of exercise that neuroplasticity. You know, be careful, because everything that's served to you up front, like comes through your phone or through emails or through friends talking to you, the marketplace, the agora, which is the exchange place in Greek, you know, it's for the most part these days, it's all going to be negative shit. And if you want to see anything that's mind expanding or whatever, you're going to have to make an investment and do some work to pursue that and to find those things that are going to benefit you, your spirituality, your physical health, and everything like that. But again, there's some really, really good content on YouTube that's going to help you in your growth and your path, the ascended path. So one of the ways you do that is get out of that rut where you're into just watching conspiracy theories and how the world is going to end and how 5G is going to cause all of this cancer and the vaccines and Bill Gates. I'm not saying that these things aren't true. You know, there's a lot of truth to all of this. Probably most of that shit is true, you know. But If you sink down to that lowest common denominator where you're existing in a paradigm of fear and just oppression and, you know, like that, it's not good. So you go to YouTube and punch up, you know, look up Sardinia. I was looking up Sardinia, where these people, they have the longest lifespan on the planet. And what do? They make fucking goat cheese, dude. And they live a beautiful life. And there was this one guy, I forget his name. If you go on YouTube, you'll find the video. He came up with the smart idea, because on his island, I believe it was Sardinia, that he put this, a lot of rich people came and started buying up plots of land and everything like that on his island. And he's a goat herder. So what he did was he came up with this idea to adopt one of his goats, literally by name. You know, you're going to adopt this goat, and then you're going to get the cheese from that goat. It's yours. And it blew up. The dude started doing really well. You know, people were adopting goats and everything like that. And he's smart, because he is not asking for a handout. He wasn't begging for anything like that. He employed what he had available to him in his toolbox. Or as it says in the Tao Te Ching, chapter 11, learn to make use of what is by that which isn't. And I'll actually do the whole quote of chapter 11 of the Tao Te Ching, because I actually live by it. And what it says is, Tao Te Ching chapter 11, 30 spokes connect at one hub. What is not there makes the wheel useful. Clay is formed into a vase. What is not there makes the vase useful. Windows and doors are cut from a room. What is not there makes the room useful. Learn to make use of what is by using that which isn't. I mean, that's deep. That which isn't, the void. The void is infinite potential. Those of you that have listened to me, I kind of repeat this over and over again, but it's the truth, because the void actually is infinite potential, because it gives you access to the infinite. You know, if you empty yourself of what you are, you have the capability of filling yourself with the Tao. And basically what the Tao is the life force and everything that the universe holds, everything positive. Yes, it does have the negative. The yin and yang is half dark and half light, but dark is not necessarily bad and the light is not necessarily good, but it's a balance of the two. The light needs the darkness to exist, just like the darkness needs the light to exist. But in that whole equation, one matchstick can illuminate infinite darkness. You know, so that's where that's at. But anyway, this guy in Sardinia, he kind of figured it out, and he says, you know what, I'm going to make use of what is by using that which isn't. He says, you know what, adopt the goat, you're going to get the goat's cheese. Same fucking goat, is it? You know, that of all the goats that he has, or you can buy that goat cheese in Pathmark or whatever, you know. But he employed that strategy and that thinking, and he did very well with it, you know. So for all of the people out there that feel that they have no capability, no future, no direction, they're depressed, they have no way to go, the first thing that you have to do, man, is you have to, and Grogan gets into it in this motivational thing. It's about 30 minutes long. But you take care of your body. You know, you're going to have days that you feel like dog shit. You have days that you have no energy. Like, and as he said, like a good amount, more than half the days feels like shit. But he gets up and he gets it done. Because it's something that we have to do, because we have to be in a position where we have to face resistance, because that's where growth comes from. And I don't want to get repetitive. I talk about this a lot. But it's something that's truth that we have to integrate with our thinking and the way we live. And just some quick housekeeping before we get into the episode. In my last episode, 152, I got into my merch, which I have listed in my Instagram. My Instagram is Alpha Male Buddhist, or at Alpha Male Buddhist. The last posting I did was a hoodie, a red hoodie, with the what I call a Buddha cell phone bag. Buddhist monk cell phone bag. It's just basically a little canvas bag with a zipper on it, but it's ideal for storing, let's say, your wallet and your cell phone and just little, you know, your keys and stuff like that. But it's kind of cool. And what I said was, give me a 5-star review, you know, online and everything like that. I didn't realize, I forgot, because I'm an Android guy, that you can only do that 5-star review on Apple or iTunes. So most people don't have that or not in that sector, and they can't. So to keep it super simple, all you have to do is just reach out to me by email. And yeah, just tell me, you know, why you like the show and such like that. And, you know, the size that you're looking for, I'll send out the T-shirt. And if I can, I'll get out a baseball cap. It's going to be much easier for me to do it in the continental United States, because to send stuff overseas is a little bit more expensive. But not to discriminate, but if you're in a position where you can really promote me pretty good and you're overseas and stuff like that, and, you know, you can really represent the show, then I'll, you know, I could probably make a little exception and send you a hoodie and stuff like that. But just shoot me an email. Let me know, you know, what you think of the show. Give me a little bit of feedback. And if you want, you know, give me a nice review on my merch postings or whatever. And yeah, I'll send you out for free of charge. I'll send you out a t-shirt or a cap, and we'll take it in that direction. Like one of my listeners, I don't have his name in front of me, he hit me up on a DM on Instagram, and he said, you know, dude, I don't know where to do the 5-star review. So I was like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. So I was like, cool, you know, he's in the United States. I sent him out a t-shirt and a baseball cap, and it's pretty cool. So yeah, like I said, I want to promote the podcast. So if you know people that do listen to podcasts or people that can benefit from the show, get them to give it a listen and check it out and see what they think of it. You know, like I said, it's the real reason I do this. I don't advertise, and I'm not selling my merch. I'm putting it out there for free to promote the show for a reason, because at the time that we're in right now, it's critical that people wake the fuck up, because you know, I'm beginning to smell the FEMA camps right now, and this is no joke. Go on YouTube and see what's happening in Australia right now. This guy's talking about they're doing safety stops in Australia where, you know, if you don't comply or you don't roll down the window, they break the glass and pull you out, and, you know, you're arrested, and they knock on your door, and, you know, they kind of intrude, and there's a lot of shit. And this is happening right now, okay, with Fauci and Bill, as they call it, Kill Gates. Oh, I do want to say one other thing. There's a YouTube channel called The Dollar Vigilante, and it's run by a guy named Jeff Berwick. He's a finance guy, entrepreneur. He's into a little bit of everything. And he has these videos where he does a walk and talk. And he has this little chihuahua by the name of Lucy. And he actually does the voice of Lucy. And it's crazy shit. You know, he drops real truth bombs, knowledge, edification, financial stuff. He talks about gold and silver, cryptocurrencies. He gets into everything, but he does it in a way. And he inserts these little, you know, funny vignettes and clips, and he's just funny as hell, Jeff Berwick. And it's funny, we all have days where we're up and down, and we might feel a little down or whatever, including myself. I'll come home and I'll be feeling a little off or whatever, and I'll, oh shit, Jeff Berwick, just a Dollar Vigilante, just dropped a video. I'll click it, and immediately, as soon as the video starts, I'll just start laughing, and I feel great. You know, it takes me away from the negative space or the negative thinking, and we need that. And these days, you know, we need that. While he's dropping knowledge, okay, I'm not going to say that I agree with every single thing. I'm not a big crypto guy. I think it's a scam, because the cryptocurrencies came out, if I'm not mistaken, in 2008, just when the market crashed in 2008. But that's, we can all agree to disagree. I highly recommend you checking out Jeff Berwick and the Dollar Vigilante. This guy went to Venezuela, right, with Luke Radowski, like with duffel bags of money, and dude's crazy, man. He's fearless, man. He's fearless, and he's really entertaining. So I recommend you go checking him out. But yeah, reach out to me as far as the merch, the T-shirts, and such, and go on my Instagram, and you'll see there's the last posting that I did. This is August 9th, so right around August 8th or August 7th, you're gonna see a picture of a red hoodie with the Buddha bags, the Buddha monk bags, those little canvas bags. And if you click that, it's a carousel, so there's like 10 pictures in there. You can see the T-shirts and stuff like that. Just, if you're going to email me, let me know. What people email me and they don't tell me the size, I'll try to accommodate the color. I can't promise, because, you know, it's coming close to the end of the summer, and when I go to pick up the T-shirts, sometimes some of the colors are sold out. So tell me the size and the color that you would like. My default is like a dark gray or a light gray or a black t-shirt, because those are kind of universal. But, and the baseball caps are black. Again, you could see them on my Instagram, and you could check them out there. Reach out to me. You don't have to do the five-star review. Just let me know, you know, what you think about the show. Give me some feedback, and I'll send it out to you. And if you do, if you're on iTunes, give me a five-star review on iTunes. That would be kind of cool. Right, and then if you're on IG, you can also just give me a nice, especially on the merch side of it, where you see the merch pictures, just give me a nice review on there, or nice comments rather, and that would be, you know, that's value for value. The other thing that I'm going to say, and this ties into Joe Rogan, what he was speaking about directly or indirectly, but whether you come from privilege, you have money, you don't have money, wherever you are, especially people that come from the underclass, people that were not privileged, that don't, you know, had to struggle in life, and you know, maybe missed a few meals growing up and really had to struggle hard with that. What you need to do is take that struggle and use it as fuel. Because how great is it to be able to overcome the circumstances that you're in and power through that to achieve, not necessarily to make money, but to change your paradigm of life and your living to where you're living in a fulfilled way, right? And realizing your potential, realizing your self-potential. It's not that hard, man, if you come up from privilege and you have a lot of money. I heard, I'm not going to mention any names, but I heard somebody talking about a comedian by the name of Brian Callen, which I used to like him, but he kind of creeps me out right now with some of the shit that he says. Not to sling mud, but it is what it is. But I heard somebody says, oh, you know, Brian Callen, and, you know, he had a hard life. He had a hard life. His dad was a banker, you know. And he was like mega rich, and he grew up in all kind of countries traveling. Not to say that that still can't give you a bad life, but don't give me that shit where, you know, you have money and, you know, put it this way, when he gets to a position where he's doing well, okay, he's going to feel great, but imagine coming as they quote unquote the underdog, the dude that came from shit and rose up, right, to get his. That's really what it's about. And this is not to shit on anybody that has money or doesn't have money or whatever, but this is specifically to people that are coming from the underprivileged class. And I'll speak bluntly, man. Poor blacks from the ghetto, from the projects, poor Puerto Ricans, Latinos, poor whites, people that are really struggling, that came up without a dad, without, you know, eating, you know, missing meals, eating what I ate when I was growing up a lot of times, mayonnaise sandwiches. People don't know about that shit. Take bread and put mayonnaise on it. That's a mayonnaise sandwich. All right? That's what I'm talking about. How great is it to be able to do that and then achieve, you know, whatever it is, man, your self-realization, your self-fulfillment within yourself as you grow up. And then to bring your kids and push them up even further. That's what's up, as they say in the Bronx. What's up, not what's up. So, yeah, I rambled on here for about 30 minutes, longer than I usually do. What I'm going to do right now is play this Joe Rogan clip. I recommend you subscribe to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast and check him out. He's the best podcast out. You know, I'll just put it like that. Check out Jeff Berwick. Check out Adrenaline Addiction on YouTube and watch this crazy dude diving off cliffs and waterfalls and structures and stuff like that. Check out Sardinia on YouTube, how the people live, herding their goats and making their goat cheese. Check out Sicily and how they live, how beautiful it is over there. Check out Corsica. I think the dude with the goats, he's from Corsica, which is French speaking. So, I'm going to leave you with that. I am going to play the clip. I want you to kind of hold on there and listen to the clip. And yeah, man, I want to thank you for listening. Check out my merch. And namaste. Oh, and I almost forgot, there's one other podcast that I suggest. It's pretty good. It's called MORACO, Morocco, and it's an expat guy, American guy, that kind of got fed up, yoga instructor and different things like that, got fed up with the life over here and the paradigm in the States, and went to live in Morocco. He's still there. And it's nothing special, nothing crazy, but what he does is he goes to these bazaars, and he goes shopping, and he talks about, you know, his life over there. I guess it's him and his girlfriend, his people. There's a group of people of expats over there. And it's, the dude is really entertaining, man. I watch it, and it's a nice, I don't want to use the word escape, but it's a nice stimulation to put my mind in the right framework, you know. So check out Morocco. It's a cool dude over there running around. And yeah, man. So we're going to get into this Joe Rogan motivational talk. Namaste.
Well, I think the one thing that discipline definitely does help you with is it helps you get things done. And when you get things done, when you actually do things, you have more success. If you have more success, and sometimes a big part of success is just not being fucking lazy and just doing it.
Yeah.
That's like 90% of it is just showing up. Get there and start working. Like, you're not going to feel perfect every day. If I only worked out when I felt good, I'd be a fat fuck. Because there's a lot of days I don't want to do it. It's pretty much the same with everybody that actually gets good at something. There's got to be those days you push through. And they're probably going to be more numerous than the days you don't. And so the benefit of discipline in my eyes has always been that through discipline, I get things done. I always say that I'm like the most lazy, disciplined person I know. Because I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I always do. One of the big problems is sitting down and doing the work. Mm-hmm. And you got to, and Pressfield talks about that in the most concise and beautiful way. And he labels it like an enemy. He calls it resistance. Mm-hmm. You know, and that you have to sit down, you have to overcome resistance, and that the pro goes to work. And it doesn't matter if you're sick, doesn't matter if you have kids, it doesn't matter what you're a pro and you go to work. And that just, it puts it in your head that this is what I do. This is what, and you have pride in that. And then when you are in front of that keyboard and you look down the count, it says, I got fuck 1,000 words today. I put 1,000 words in. You're doing the work. Yeah. And out of that work, gems blossom. Yeah. Little things, but you might have a day where you just write nothing but dog shit. So what? Show up again tomorrow. And tomorrow out of that dog shit, a flower will emerge. You never know. And that's the only way to develop real, like, to really develop your potential 100% in anything, whether it's as an author or even as a martial artist. There's a lot of creativity in martial arts. To be a great striker, you have to be creative because you have to develop patterns or execute patterns that aren't going to be perceived. This idea that life is hard, something you're supposed to shield from them, it's so silly. And, you know, I've had this conversation with my friends because everybody that I know that's interesting had a fucked up life. But now we have kids, and the last thing we want is our kids to have a fucked up life. So we put our kids in these good schools, we live in these nice neighborhoods, everybody eats healthy, and there's no fucking domestic violence, and everybody seems, it's so different than all of our lives. And we were talking about it, me and Brian Callen were actually talking about it. Like, we all had fucked up childhoods, and everybody we know had fucked up childhoods. And they're all interesting. But I don't want my kids to be boring, but I also want them to be safe. So it's like, how do you approach that? I mean, I think you get involved. This, what I've chosen to do is get my kids involved in martial arts and give them the opportunity to pursue difficult things, and understanding that through pursuing these difficult things, like in accomplishing stuff, like you learn something about yourself. You learn that you have this ability inside of you to overcome. Get obsessed with life improvement. Find things that you enjoy doing that are difficult. Do them and get better at them. Seems so simplistic. It seems like a ridiculous, idealistic point of view, but it's effective. Well, you need some form, some amount of pride and some amount of ego to get good at things in the first place, because it's such a counterintuitive notion, because you have to have a belief in yourself. You have to be able, like when you start out at jiu-jitsu, you're a white belt. Like, I remember being a white belt and being like, oh my God, I am fucking never going to get good at this. I'm going to suck forever. But to look at people who are better than you and know they had to have sucked at one point in time. Okay, there's somewhere along the end of this tunnel, there's got to be a light. I just got to keep going.
Yeah.
And that takes ego,
and
right?
Ego, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, ego drives, you know, you to be successful, me to be successful. Ego is what's driving you. The problem is when you let ego go too far.
Yeah.
And everything takes balance. There's a dichotomy in everything. Every part of you has a dichotomy. You know, you can get so into the physical aspects of things that you end up like doing a bunch of steroids and going crazy and ruining your health. Right.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Right.
The other end of the spectrum, you know, you can sit around and play video games and turn into a
bodybuilding is a great example of that, because when you start lifting weights, you're like, God, I'd like to be stronger. And you start getting a little bit bigger. You're like, oh, look at that. I got a muscle. Woo, this is cool. And then you keep going, and then you keep going. But some guys get so fucking crazy, yeah, they won't stop until they have 22-inch arms. And they want to have thighs that are so big, they have to walk like they've got a barrel in between their legs. And, you know, and they just can't help it. They just take it to some completely unhealthy place.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, well, it's just the nature of trying to get good at something. You got to recognize what's good and what is just fucking insane. For some people, especially, they're just experiencing way too much pressure. And that pressure, a lot of times, it's just an imbalance in perspective. And some of it's I was talking to this mom once. Her daughter does gymnastics with my daughter, and we were talking about kids killing themselves where she used to live. She used to live in one of the really wealthy tech areas outside of San Francisco, and a bunch of kids that went to school with her daughter that were like 15, 16 were jumping off bridges and shit. Like, it was an epidemic. And they were trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, and they're literally calling it affluenza. That these affluent kids and their families are literally worth $1 billion. You know, I mean, everybody's super rich, and they're having this insane pressure, like before high school and in high school, to be in Ivy League schools and to get 4.0s and all. And they're not having any fun, and they're not experiencing life, and they don't have any hope, and their parents are all on fucking pills, and they're just killing themselves. For some people out there that aren't feeling good, man, if you just fucking struggled more, you get over that struggle, you feel better. It sounds so simplistic, but I swear by it. I felt shitty myself, and then forced myself to work out, and after I get out of there, I'm like, whoa!
100%. It's 100% great. Guarantee.
It's hard for people to break momentum, too. Momentum that's good momentum, or momentum that's bad momentum. When I get when I get on a good groove of working out all the time, I feel it. Like, after I'm done working out, I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to get in there again. I can't wait to work out again. That's the good momentum. But then there's that bad momentum, like, you get injured or something like that, and you can't do anything for a couple of weeks, and then to try to get that kickstart that motor up again, it's hard to get momentum. There's a lot of people that are eating shit food, and then by the end of the day, your body's in a crisis.
Yep.
Your body's just processing all this bullshit. And if you're eating a big, bullshit lunch filled with nonsense, like, your body's got to process all that stuff. And so at the end of the day, you're going to lose your willpower. So, like, when 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock rolls around, you're going to be tired. But if you have a healthy lunch, and, you know, you're properly fueled, and then you also have positive people in your life, everyone's motivated, by the end of the day, you're going to feel good. Whatever the fuck your thing is, just go and do it. Just force yourself to do it. And if you feel like shit because you ate lunch, then your lunch was, you know, filled with bullshit, well then, hey, dummy, don't eat shitty lunch tomorrow. Tomorrow, try a nice salad.
Yeah.
You know, try a salad with some salmon and see how you feel then. You're like, hey, I feel way better today at 6 o'clock. Duh.
Now
your decision-making will be better. Like, people don't understand how significant it is. Like, all these little decisions, those are like, that's the path for the rest of your existence on Earth. And if you decide to go to fucking Cheetos chocolate chip cookie route, you're just making a shit path. You're carving your fucking path through broken rocks and glass, and it's not the way to go. You know what else doesn't exist in a day-to-day life? A place where it's okay to be a man. It's actually okay to be a man. It's okay to have man thoughts. Like, everybody's so toned down and neutered. It's like human resources and corporate life has watered down people's natural behavior to the point where people are just dying on the inside, sitting in these fucking cubicles, rotting, just freaking the fuck out, having all these thoughts they can't entertain, having to pretend to be someone they're not all day long, putting on this bullshit way of talking, this fake way of thinking. Everybody's got to subscribe to whatever fucking ridiculous policies their company wants to enforce. And you're just a robot, and you get out of there, and you just want to scream. It's this fear of discomfort. People have this extreme feeling in their mind when it comes to their associations with exercise. They want to avoid discomfort. They feel like any type of exercise is just like something to be avoided. That's not for me. Fuck that. I don't want to sweat. I don't want to strain. And a lot of times, this association that they have is about the beginnings of getting in shape. It's not about once you're actually fit. Because once you're actually fit, exercise is something you look forward to. It's an alleviation of stress. It's it feels great. Like, if I can't get a workout in, I look at my schedule, I go, oh, shit, I don't have any time for a workout, which means I'm not going to get that good feeling. And so instead of looking at it like, oh, I've got to go grunt and sweat, I'm thinking I'm not going to feel good. I'm not going to feel relaxed. I'm not going to feel carefree. And I'm not going to feel even appreciative. Like, my appreciation of things, and it gets enhanced greatly after exercise. I just feel better. I feel like I can take things in for what they are, rather than, you know, whatever sensory data that I'm getting from any event is just one more distraction that gets in my way. And you know, that's a lot of times how I look at things if I'm overstressed or if I'm working too much. Like, our bodies, for whatever reason, most people, their associations are to avoid anything that's uncomfortable. But it's so illogical, because when you look at comfort and you look at success and progress and the feelings of accomplishment and of getting past certain hurdles in terms of like how you feel about life, a lot of those are connected to discomfort. Like, discomfort is your friend. It really is. Like, discomfort and not being happy and content with certain situations in life or certain feelings in life, they're massive, massive motivators, and they're amazing at facilitating change. And yet our instinct is to avoid those and just sit on the couch and watch some fucking reality show about dudes who make moonshine with our jaw open, like, it's bizarre. And for me, at least, when I get like really disciplined and really I get really consistent with my workouts, one of the things that I feel, I almost feel momentum. I feel like there's like a push behind me, like, all right, we're, you know, like after I get out of the gym, I have a really good workout, I'm like, yeah, now I'm doing it. I'm doing it all the time now, and I'm looking forward to the next time. And it makes that resistance much weaker, and it makes my motivation and my discipline much stronger. I think a lot of it is based on just the consistency. You know, it's one of the things that I talked about recently on the podcast. I said, you know, like, blowing something off, it's not just not good. Like, blowing off an exercise that you planned is not just bad for you physically. It's also bad mentally, because then that option is now available. The option to fuck off is available. And you did it before, and you're probably going to do it again, and you'll get mediocre results, not just in that aspect of your life, but maybe in all aspects of your life. Because I think that option to fuck off, when you embrace it, that is a pathway that you might choose when it comes to dealing with conflict in your personal life, dealing with business decisions, dealing with career decisions, like an uncomfortable decision that you might be faced with, where maybe you need to make a change as far as like what your pathway is in life, but you don't do it, and instead you fuck off. And that the inclination to fuck off, I think, that gathers momentum as well. The inclination to be disciplined, that comes with momentum too. And I think both things, like, you take a path, like the path of the healthy person or the path of the fuck off. Like, this is not like, your body is like a race car that you can juice up yourself. Like, you can add the fat tires, you can add the improved suspension, you can beef up the horsepower in the engine. You could do all that yourself, or you could just choose to have this shitty body that's always falling apart on you, because we're essentially ecosystems. You know, and we're in charge. This weird consciousness that has all this resistance and has all this inclination towards comfort and fucking off and blowing things off is what is in charge of making all these things happen that keep this ecosystem healthy. It's almost like if Earth itself had like a shitty manager, you know, if like there was a manager of, or a natural manager of Earth that was like, oh God, who cares if it rains? Oh God, you know, like, I'm gonna stop growing things. I don't give a shit anymore. It's all stupid anyway. I mean, it's literally like the
just blow it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck it. Let's just kill all the life. It's all gonna die eventually. I mean, the sun only lasts 7 billion years.
And you see, that is the perspective a lot of people take with aging, where it's like, well, you're gonna die, you're gonna age, you can't stop aging. And it's like, yes, you're right, but that's not the point. The point is to age better. Like, that's the point. The point is to increase your health span, you know, and that is, we know, is possible. Like, that can, there's some of these like centenarians and super centenarians I've seen that are like, in, you know, over 100 years old, and they're like riding bikes and racing, and it's like,
yeah,
they're old. They are very old.
But they're experiencing a very good quality of life.
Yeah.
And they're experiencing a quality of life that these other people that don't exercise feel, they physically feel their own body diminishing, and they just feel it's inevitable. It's just, it is what it is. You're wasting your time. You're out there running around. But no, we're not, because this experience right now, it's not like, no one's under the illusion that you're going to live forever, but you are enhancing the experience that you're currently involved in right now. And you are alive. Right. You are alive. You do experience this life. But do you experience this life optimally? Is it as enjoyable as it can be? And we all know that there's a spectrum for that enjoyability. Like, we've all had times in our life where it's not been so great. And then times in our life where everything came together. Like, what a fucking great day. Woo! Like, make more of those. Like, you can make more of those. And right. Then the whole thing's better. And I think when that whole thing is better, it affects everybody you touch, everybody that's around you, everybody you come in contact with. And that in turn, I mean, it sounds so grandiose, but in turn can affect the entire race of human beings. I've always wondered if the depression that people see en masse today, there's so much depression that people, I mean, there's, it's a common trait, like it's a common condition. Oh, he suffers from depression. Oh, she suffers from depression. Like, oh, he's got herpes. You know what I mean? It's like it's a common thing. I've always wondered, or I've been wondering more and more recently. It really hit me when, have you ever seen Heinmo's Arctic Adventure? This guy lives in this incredibly remote area of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in the Alaskan interior, and he lives in this really small log cabin, and he hunts and gathers, and that's all he does. And he's very smart. Like, he's not a dummy at all. And he's been up there. He lives with his wife, and he raised children up there. And it's really, really, there's some dark moments in there, because they lived like this from the time, like, when they had children up there, and they lost their 2-year-old baby in a fucking canoe. Like, they tipped over in a canoe and lost their kid. And it's like, it's really intense when they revisit the site and leave flowers. And it was like 30 years ago, and they had several children since then. But this moment is still like this intense moment, sure, of loss for them, where they lost their baby. But this fucking guy is very happy and very, very smart and very connected and very articulate. And he firmly believes that human beings, when we evolved and developed and were hunter-gatherers, that there's a set of rewards. There's reward systems that are set up inside the human body, inside the very being that we embody, that don't get met in today's society. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's causing depression. One of the things that's causing this funk that people are in is that we're living our lives, many of us at least, in these very unfulfilling ways, where you're going to this office with artificial light and you're doing something you don't want to do all day long, and then you get home and you're tired. And on top of that, you're eating shit. You're eating potato chips and you're drinking soda, and your body is just like, what in the fuck is this? We're supposed to be out in the fields. We're supposed to be walking up hills. We're supposed to be looking for animals or gathering vegetables. We're supposed to be doing all these things that our body's designed to do. We're supposed to be in nature.
Yeah.
And nature is like a medicine. Like, it literally is a medicine to you. Like, people that go, you don't have to go hunting, you don't have to go fishing, just go fucking hike, man. Just go hike up to the top of a mountain and look out. You know, there's a reward that you get from that is intensely, like, soul-filling. Mm-hmm. There's, like, something about, like, when I was in Colorado, and there was this this area of Boulder where you drive up one of these roads, and there was this area where you could park, and it was this incredible view, man. And these people just park and just go out there and just look. But you get there and you park and you go, fuck. Because you would see, you're literally seeing the Continental Divide. These snow-capped mountains in July.
Yeah.
In July, it's covered with snow. Because those mountains don't give a
fuck. Perspective.
Oh.
You know, just this whole new perspective on it. And I think nature, I think the ease of suffering is always in presentness. You know, when you're in presentness, truly locked in presentness, there is no suffering. There can be pain, but no suffering. Suffering is something created by our own minds. And I think nature is one of the great ways to do this, because humans, we learn, we take cues from our environment. And nature, as I was saying earlier, is always in the present.
You know, there's this natural presentness of all the animals, everything around you. Whereas if you get around a bunch of people watching Housewives and stressed about this and popping pills, you're going to take on that energy too, and you're going to lose your presentness because of your surroundings. So it's like this ultimate regrounding tool where we get back to, present moment again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's such a fucking key element to human happiness. And I think the other key element is having something we're fighting for, you know, having a mission. I think we're all forces, and that force needs to have an effect, needs to have a reason that it's moving in a certain direction. And I think with all of our needs and all of our needs met, you know, where we don't have to hunt for food, we don't have to acquire everything, everything's relatively easy and it's all about advancement and all this, we've lost a lot of the basic mission, which was the mission to survive and procreate, you know. So, and we haven't replaced it with any other universal mission, which is, I think, one of the big allures of these things like wars and these things like creating an enemy. Well, at least then you have a mission. And when you have a mission, human beings are happy. You know, like Bertrand Russell talked about, he did a book, Conquest of Happiness, and he had his own fucked up attributes. Every time I bring him up, people talk about his fucked upness. He was into phrenology, and he might have been a racist. Whatever, but he was a good philosopher.
Smoked constantly.
Yeah. But anyways, he talked about the happiest person he knew. The happiest person he could find was a groundskeeper on a manor who every day woke up and was at war with the rabbits of the grounds. He just declared that the rabbits were the fucking enemy, and he would go out with his gun and he would hunt as many as possible, and he'd go morning till night, and he would kill as many rabbits as he could, because it was his, the rabbits were the ones eating the hedges and the flowers and whatever. So he basically made the rabbits his enemy and struck out every single day to kill as many rabbits as possible. And that dude, according to Bertrand Russell, was happy as fuck.
He had a task.
He had a purpose. You know, he had a mission. My mission is to destroy the rabbits.
I used to have a dog like that.
Yeah?
I had the happiest dog ever. His name was Frank Sinatra. And he was a pit bull that all he lived for was killing lizards. And my house, my old house, not the house I'm in now, but my old house, had this it's like on a hill, and there's this one wall where these lizards would run up the wall. And so Frank, I would literally let him out in the morning, and he would fucking bolt out that door. It's like, time to go to war. Like, and he would run and go look for these lizards. And he would stand there. Like, Eddie Bravo would just watch it and marvel. He'd be like, fuck, man, this dog does this every day. This dog does this every day. I go, this is what he loves to do. And he would go there, and he would have his paws on the wall. And he would, and he would go crazy, and he would jump up and try to grab a lizard. And occasionally, he would get one. And he'd be like, fuck yeah. And he would get one. They would go looking for another one. He would go, and it was a pretty big yard. So he would go wandering around the yard looking for anything else that fucked up, anything else that was slipping. There was constantly, unfortunately, twice I had to take him to the hospital because he got bit by rattlesnakes. Because rattlesnakes were slipping too, apparently. He killed the rattlesnakes, but the rattlesnakes fucked him up.
Yeah.
He had like a water balloon growing out of the side of his head. Both of my dogs, by the way, that's a real problem if you don't have the money to pay for the serum. It's super expensive. It was several thousand dollars to treat them for this rattlesnake venom, anti-venom shit. It's like, I was like, man, what if I was poor? What if...
That's a whole fucked up system. Like, they inject horses with the venom,
mm-hmm.
and then they, like, get the antibodies from the horses.
It's exactly.
It's like this archaic system. I think my friend Donald Schultz is working on... he's a big snake handler guy. He's working on ways to innovate around that, because it's kind of like a real backwards system that they have, how you get anti-venom. Well, a horse will survive, so let's just fucking
sort of
put the venom in there, and then we'll get the antibodies from the horse, and then, you know, it's a weird thing how they do it.
Yeah, well, that's a real problem with people that are vegans. If you're a vegan and you don't use any animal products, you get bit by a rattlesnake, you got two choices. Compromise your morals, well, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know? But this dog was so goddamn happy.
Mm-hmm.
He had missions.
Yeah.
You know, he would go out of that yard, and he wasn't bored. He was like, please take me for a walk. Come on, man. He was like, see ya, dude. I'd open that door. He was gone. Yeah. He just had his little mission.
And I think you can see that in the people who are the most unhappy. They seem aimless.
Yeah.
They're like, what am I here for? Why am I doing this? Nothing makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
And I've even felt it in my own life when, you know, I know what my mission here is. First, my mission is to expand human consciousness, to help people be happy. Like, that's really what I find my greatest purpose in. But every once in a while, I'll get this kind of like fuck people attitude. Maybe someone said some fucked up shit, and I'm like, man, people fucking suck. Fuck people. And then at that point, that's when I'm actually depressed.
Yeah.
You know, because I've lost my mission. instead of having a mission like, yes, my mission is human consciousness, all of a sudden it's like, fuck people, fuck that mission, they'll figure it out. And then I'm depressed because I've lost my purpose.
It's very hard to rise above, like literally, when something like that happens and realize like, oh, you're encountering one diseased individual. You got to look at the mass of humanity.
Yeah.
Like when you encounter one diseased individual, it's so like this guy who shot up that nightclub in Orlando, you're looking at one diseased individual. And if you say, man, people fucking suck, look at what they did. Well, look at how many people that are responding with rainbows on their Twitter pages and love and all the best wishes to those folks that got killed and all that. I mean, I was looking at this guy's page who's an animal lover who was organizing people to go to the homes of the victims and see if they have pets that are trapped. You know, there's beautiful people out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's more beautiful people. This is without a doubt not just the safest, the easiest. This is the happiest time in terms of like being able to like reach out and send love to people and have people send love to you. But just occasionally you run into cunts.
Yeah,
no doubt. Know? And the cunts itself, man.
But the beauty is out there too. It's just not as dramatic and it doesn't impose upon us as forcefully. But if we just look, it's around all the time. We run into good people all the time. But you know, you just make eye contact with that good person or that kid who's just looking at you and just creeping with that little smile, and you're like, oh yeah, the good of humanity, the fact that, you know, we really are love, you know, being expressed, you know, outwardly all the time, and it's just these other delusions that get in the way of that.
Well, we're oddly attracted to negativity too. It's almost like we look at negativity online or that you run into as like a possibility of war. Like, you have to look out, this fucking drum's beating. God damn it, there's an army on the background. They're coming. But, you know, it's like this real impulse to sort of batten down the hatches. When really it's just some fucking 36-year-old loser sitting in his parents' basement, you know, farting and smelling his own farts and angry online. I mean, that's really what a lot of you're dealing with. You're dealing with, like, really sick people. Like, people that have just, for whatever reason, they've not found their path. They've not found any happiness. They've not found any fulfillment. They haven't found any growth. They're just stifled or rotten in some sort of a weird way. It just hasn't really worked for them.
Yeah.
And so they're lashing out. They're lashing out at the world. And you run into one of those, and you're like, ah, people suck.
Yeah. But, and that's the initial response. And then the more conscious response is to look at them and have compassion for that person.
Yeah. You know, that's hard to do, right?
That is hard to do. And our system isn't based upon that. Even if you look at the U.S. penal system, it's very much about punishment. Whereas if you watch that documentary that Michael Moore did, Who to Invade Next, where they go to Norway, they have a whole different idea of what the penal system is for. It's about restoring human dignity and cultivating, you know, a change, really making change in the person. It's not about punishment. It's about actually changing that individual so he doesn't do it again. And then you look at the recidivism rates between our prisons and Norway's prisons, and they're just dramatically different. That impulse to punish immediately, you know, is not the healthiest impulse. That's just going to create more issues down the road. You're not rehabilitating anybody. You're just taking even more broken people and putting them out in the world and hoping they're not going to do the broken things. Well, it's not going to fucking work. You know, the right impulse is always that compassion and looking to see, as if that was you, how all of these fucked up elements of the world and choices. I'm not overriding the fact that they had choices in all this. They're not free of guilt. But look at that, like, this is the person that just made some bad choices and had some tough shit to deal with and couldn't overcome it. The resistance in the video game was higher than his skill set, and he wasn't able to choose to work and choose to the positive elements that would allow him to overcome it. You know,
yeah, it's also Norway's dealing with far fewer people.
That's true.
You know, and that's a good thing for them. And it's also they don't have that conqueror's mentality that we have. So we're so wrapped up in success and also in punishment. I mean, that is a big aspect of our culture, like punishment. And I mean, like, when anybody does anything wrong online, the amount of people that feel like it's their job to shame that person and embarrass that person and insult that person, it's pretty crazy to watch when something goes down.
It's also counterproductive, you know, and I see that in the people shaming people for appropriation, right? So let's say, for example, someone wears a headdress at a fucking festival, right? They're probably mildly, they're not doing it to mock the Native Americans, most likely. It's probably like a mild appreciation and interest. I think this looks cool. I'm in a place, and you know, and then all of a sudden they get all this intense hate and shame and putting all of this stuff, all of these intentions on them that weren't true. Again, going back to my point about morality, it's not about the act. It's about the intentions of the act. But right now, we make it all about the act. Oh, you wore this headdress. That means you're insulting thousands of years of Native Americans. You're oppressing. You're appropriating. Like, no, I fucking wasn't. I was wearing a fucking headdress. But then all of a sudden, that imprint will create trauma. And that trauma will have a poisonous impact that will make them feel weird and make them want to do that to other people. So it's like you're injecting someone with a hate virus, you know, that they're going to then pass on to other people rather than doing the opposite. You know, spreading the love herpes, where it's this contagious positivity that goes the other way. And we have those choices with how to deal with people, but more often than not, we come with this thing to punish and create more trauma, which triggers their own self-judge and their own self-hate, lowers their own self-love, and then they're going to pass that off to kids, family members, people around them. You know, there's just two sets of dominoes that we can choose to take either path.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. My Instagram is alphamalebuddhist. And check out my YouTube channel, Alpha Male Buddhist, and that's on YouTube. It is the podcast accompanied with video clips that integrate exactly with the podcast, so it's motivational and inspirational. I also have promotional t-shirts. If you go to my website, alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com, you can see the promotional t-shirts there. Reach out to me. Also, if you have any show notes or any suggestions that you would like to hear on the podcast, just reach out and see if I can get that done. I've been getting some really great emails and feedback from my listeners, which is great. So I want to thank you for listening, and namaste.